Welcome to a special three-part podcast from Siemens Digital Industries Software. I'm your host, Connor Pike, a writer for the thought leadership team at Siemens Digital Industries Software, and I'm joined by a trio of experts to talk about how software and automation will come together to facilitate the future of smart factories and even smarter industries. Together with Dale Tutt, Rahul Garg, and Michael Thomas, we will be diving into the trends and challenges in the manufacturing ecosystem today, exciting new technologies on the horizon, and how digitalization can help empower companies for the future. Please enjoy part one. First off, I think I'd like to start with just a brief introduction from our guest today. So, Michael, if you could please start us off and just give us a brief history of your career and your experience with smart machines and smart factories and so forth.
Sure. My name is Michael Thomas, and I'm in charge of automation of machinery within Siemens. What we so-called production machines. So any kind of printed goods, bottled water, whatever comes out of machinery, we are automating. And I'm in Siemens for 30 years. I started my career in R&D. And the last 20, 25 years, I'm in the domain of automation and all about machinery.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Rahul, would you like to go next?
Sure. My name is Rahul Garg, and I'm responsible for the industrial machinery vertical inside Siemens software business. I've been looking after this for the last, I would say, around 15 years. Prior to that, I was part of the industries and marketing organization. And prior to that, I started my career as a software developer, deploying large systems, PLM and PDM systems at large enterprise companies.
Excellent. Dale, last but not least.
Hey, Connor, I'm Dale Tutt. I lead the global industry strategy team for Siemens Digital Industry Software. In my role, my team is responsible to develop industry solutions for our customers and also lead a lot of the go-to-market efforts for how do we talk to our customers and where do we see business opportunities. So that's the focus. Before I joined Siemens, I was in the aerospace and defense industry for about 30 years, designing, building airplanes, spaceships, and leading a lot of engineering programs and some manufacturing programs. So been able to leverage some of that experience as I joined Siemens as the aerospace and defense industry lead several years ago, and now I have all the industry strategies.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys all for joining me today to talk about smart machines and smart factories. Really looking forward to this conversation. And actually, to kick it off, Michael, I'm going to come back to you. I guess to start us off today, I'm curious, what do you see are the challenges that are facing the manufacturing ecosystem today? And what trends do you see in the business landscape? And how is that creating hurdles for the producers of goods and the companies that support them?
First of all, when I started in R&D 30 years ago, there was always the situation that we had an idea, but at the end, some technology was missing and we had to wait or develop the technology by ourselves. When you look at machine builders today, then it's totally the other way around. Machine builders are challenged every day by getting new technologies on their table in the way to consider, does this particular technology make any difference to the market I'm in, the way I design machines? And that's all in the race on looking into machine building and manufacturing, on efficiency and cost pressure, the time to market to be reduced, or even in the aspects of individualization of products and quality. What is newly coming on the horizon is that we as consumers in our buying behavior of products put a lot of weight on sustainability. And also, whenever I talk to machine builders today, what is very obvious is that there's a huge, huge lack of talents in most of the countries which are building machines today, as well as at the end customers for operation in manufacturing. And that all leads to a very challenging situation that on the one hand, technologies are very fast changing, emerging, new markets are coming up in terms of e-mobility, in terms of sustainability. Just look into the plastics industry, substitution on material. And on the other hand, the number of people which can deal with these challenges are becoming more and more limited.
So, and then, you know, for Dale and Rahul, Michael mentioned things like a shortage of skilled labor and supply shortages as well. How are these trends manifesting for factories and machine builders as well? And, you know, how do you see that changing the next 5 years for these companies?
Well, I think that as Michael talked about the sustainability challenges and really, I think the workforce challenges is really a big one for many of our customers, these large manufacturers, the OEMs, and some of their suppliers. There's a couple things I think that they're really struggling with. They're trying to go faster. They have to produce products faster. They're trying to improve their yield, less scrap, less waste in their production lines. They need to be more flexible so that they can be more responsive to the changing demands of their customers. And so these are some of the bigger challenges they have. And I think one of the other things that we're starting to see is a lot of companies that historically have relied a lot on I'll say manual labor, as they have struggled with the shortage of technicians, they're now turning to more and more to automation to help them, you know, overcome some of these labor shortages. But it's not just automation in their production line, like with robotics. It's also just automation of their workflows. So the processes that they use to get the information out to the people on the shop floor. So there's a lot more automation that they're looking at in all their processes and all their production processes.
Yeah, I think great points. I think what Michael and Dale have covered, most of them are absolutely relevant, all the way from sustainability related issues and trying to reduce the amount of energy that a machine consumes to introducing more automation and robotics into the production processes. And especially these days, at least in some of the developed countries with a lot of the thoughts around reshoring happening, that's also driving the need to further improve operational efficiencies, and automation is certainly a big part of that. The other big angle I would perhaps add in there is as the workforce challenges continue, the need to simplify the systems that are used by the shop floor personnel becomes even more critical. And as part of introducing the technologies, how do you make it easier for someone to get online and get up and running quickly, and also have a modern look and feel as part of the whole process, and a modern user interface becomes a very critical function to try and drive greater adoption with the workforce as well.
You know, a common thread that we're seeing among these different industries that we work with, and the trends that we've been talking about here, you know, between Michael and Rahul and myself, what we're seeing really is just the immense growth and the complexity and the way these companies are operating today. It's changing the way they need to do business, and changing how they're going to develop their next generation of products and then manufacture those products. So, and it's also affecting a multitude of processes across all of production. So, Michael, how do you see the complexity affecting the way factories are managed today?
For me, what I see is that we are moving from automated production facilities to more adaptive and flexible production facilities. There's a lot of elements of automated optimization of the entire manufacturing. And that's also influencing, of course, the machines. And I think there are three major pillars, electrification, automation, and digitalization, which are in the combination of all three, are enabling new dimensions of how to simplify a high complex technical stuff to be done at both at machine builders, looking at the PLM process, the design, the virtual commissioning of a machine, evaluating machine performance before you even build a prototype, the same then on the line level or on the factory level. And there is a good reason why people are seeking for that, because this complexity in combination with highly demanding end customer markets, with volatile market environments, they create a lot of uncertainty into is this the right time to invest? Is this the right place to invest? And all this in the evaluation helps to lower the risk and to become more predictable in the planning process, in the design process, and then also in the operation of the facilities.
Yeah, Michael, I really like how you characterized how these large companies are dealing with, or how the large manufacturers are dealing with the increasing challenges of complexity. And I like that term around that they're turning towards electrification and automation, digitalization to help them have more sustainable and more repeatable processes as they go forward. So now thinking about that from the big level, now, Rahul, how about the machine builders? So when we look at the factory, the machines inside that factory are a pretty major element. So how is complexity affecting the way the industrial machinery is being designed?
Yes, you know, to deliver on some of these expectations of smart manufacturing or adaptive manufacturing, as Michael indicated, the machine builders who are providing that equipment, they, to a large extent, they need to transform the way they are doing their design engineering, building manufacturing processes as well, and support processes. They are moving from what was traditionally a sequential process to a more integrated mechatronic-based process, where they have all of the multidiscipline engineering activities happening together, where they have the mechanical, electrical, automation design processes working simultaneously, creating a digital twin of the entire machine, leveraging a lot more simulation as part of that whole process, and enabling the buyer of the machine, the factory end user, giving him the ability to also evaluate the entire performance of that machine in a digital manner, so that before they go through a commissioning phase, they can evaluate how will that machine work in the context of the entire line and make any adjustments in a virtual world before they actually start cutting even a single piece of metal and going through the whole commissioning process. So that helps them making sure that what they're going to deliver is actually going to meet the customer's needs, number one. And number two, most importantly, get it at the customer side in the fastest possible time, right? Without having any downtime, without having any on-site operational issues. And then more importantly, from an ongoing operational perspective, having the ability to monitor what's going on and then make any adaptive changes on the way the equipment is running, right? So if you see any issues, you can proactively predict any problems that may be that could happen, and being able to resolve those issues in before they become a bigger problem. So these are some of the things that the machine builders are trying to incorporate into their operational processes and see how they can leverage new technologies, new capabilities to transform their own internal operations as well.
And in addition, I see that a lot of machine builders, and coming from a well-established domain, but simply out of the fact that the markets are changing, and the printing industry is one of my favorite examples, they are forced to move into new domains, consciously considering what are the value, the domain know-how that they have, and what are potential new areas to enter. And when you are in that situation that you have to transform a business, a company like a mid-sized machine builder into new horizons, into new areas, then the best thing you can do is make sure that you minimize the risk on the one hand, that you can be as fast as possible to adapt into new areas, and that you are capable also to educate your people and take them off this on this journey of transformation. And what I observe in the market is that companies which are capable of adapting into new technologies, utilizing the portfolio and the technology which is available, these are the ones which are also mostly successful in this kind of transformation process. It started in printing, and when I look at the industry segments today, more and more of the industry segments are already in progress of this kind of transformations or at the beginning of that transformation. We all know about e-mobility as one of the examples where you have to scope with totally new technologies. Or in the printing industry, nowadays we talk about packaging print, not printed media anymore. We talk about functional print. We talk about 3D printing, and take it from 3D printing of pieces, even to take it to 3D printing of housing properties, which is an industry domain which didn't have any great productivity by technology in the last 100 years, and where we see a lot of adjacent new markets are coming up. And these markets are only possible to explore if you combine all the different technologies, automation in the core, connecting this to IT, utilizing AI technology.
Thanks so much for tuning in to part one of our podcast on how smart machines enable smart factories. We'll be back soon with part two, so please check back in to hear more of our conversation.